Okay, so let's continue where we left off on page 4, volume 12, 2:27-19. My daughter Louisa, how much darkness? Again, this is 1919. It is such that the earth seems to be covered with a black mantle, to the extent that the creatures can no longer see. Either they have remained blind, or they have no light to be able to see. And I, God, I want not only divine air for me, but also divine light. Therefore, Louisa, let your acts be continuous in my divine will, so that you may not only form air for your Jesus, but also light. You, Louisa, will be my reflector, the reflection of my love and my very light. Even more, I tell you this, so that as you do your acts in my volition, you shall rise tabernacles. Not only this, but as you keep forming your thoughts, desires, words, reparations, and acts of love, many hosts will be unleashed from you because they are consecrated by my divine will. So here we see that what Jesus says to Faustina, he explains through Louisa to raise up tabernacles, okay, filled with hosts. And this is for every thought, word, deed, your desires, your reparations, your acts of love. These will be many hosts which will be unleashed from Louisa because they are consecrated by my most holy divine will. So our Lord is asking us to let him begin a life that has not been seen in the saints. This is what Jesus wanted, but it's the life that Louisa possesses. Okay, so now this is, if we are linked to Louisa, we can also raise up tabernacles by forming our thoughts, desires, words, reparations, the acts of love. There will be many hosts unleashed from us as well who are linked to Louisa because they are consecrated by the most holy divine will. So, oh, what a free outpouring my love shall have. I shall have free field in everything, no more obstruction. I shall have as many tabernacles as I, God, want. The hosts will be innumerable. We will communicate each other in every instant, and I too shall cry out, freedom, freedom, come all into my divine will, and you shall enjoy true freedom. So here this communication, to communicate to each other, this life that God wants us to possess is his life, so that he speaks to us, we hear him, and we speak to him through with his voice reigning in us, and he hears himself in us. And this is what he says, freedom, freedom, come all into my divine will, and you shall enjoy true freedom. So as we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, God is going to bring about something that the saints only could dream of. And now this is a reality. Because of Louisa, we begin to live a life that is, as Jesus says, you enter into the Son, S-U-N, of the divine will. You enter into the Son. You communicate with God in this light, this heat, this love. He says all the saints will be like stars surrounding the Son. But with the children of the divine will, he wants us to enter into the Son, to be in communion with God. So he says, outside of my divine will, how many obstacles does the soul not find? But in my divine will, the soul is free. I leave her free to love me as the soul wants. And even more, I tell her, lay down your human remains, take up what is divine. So as Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to teach you a way of heaven and no longer a way of earth. Lay down what is human, take up what is divine. See, this is, again, like we mentioned last time about command. What God has in store for us isn't just to pray, like we've been praying for the last 2,000 years, please, 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 but to say to that mountain, move, and the mountain has to move. To say to the sycamore, be uprooted and cast in the sea, and that tree must obey you. When he said to Philip, you feed the 5,000, he wanted Philip to do a divine thing. When he said to Peter, walk on the water, come to me, and Peter walked on the water, this is a divine reality. And when he sank, Jesus says, why did you falter? Why did you fail? Where is your faith? See, God is expecting us to now do things that have never been seen before. He's expecting us to begin to live a life that has not been seen by the saints. It's a life that Adam had before the fall. It's the true life of Jesus. It's the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says very clearly, lay down your human remains. Take up what is divine. And so if you are trapped in time and space in the human, what's going to happen is you're going to be afraid. You're going to be worried. You're going to be fearful. You're going to be complaining. You're going to be negative. Jesus says, lay down those human remains. That this isn't for you anymore. Now I want you to live what is divine, to be filled with peace, joy, and happiness. See, what's coming is so astonishing that the world isn't ready for it. What the charismatics and the Pentecostals are praying for, and they don't know it, is the spirit of Louisa, the spirit that Jesus breathed into Louisa, this abundant life. And who do we get it from? From Louisa herself. This is her gift. This is God gave it to her. So we have to listen to what Jesus is saying to Louisa if we're linked to her. Lay down your human remains. Take up what is divine. I am not mean. I am not jealous with my goods. I, God, want you to take everything. Love me immensely. And take all of my love. Make my power your own. Make my beauty your own. The more you take, the happier your Jesus will be. The earth forms few tabernacles for me. The hosts are almost numbered. And then the sacrileges, the irreverences, what they do to me, and how offended and hindered my love is. But in my most holy divine will, there are no hindrances, not a shadow of offense. The creature gives me love, divine reparations, and complete correspondence. Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa substitute together with me for all the evils of the human family. Therefore, be attentive and do not move from the point at which I, God, call you and I, God, want you. So he wants us to enter into this life. Again, all that the Lord is looking for is fiat. Mary said, let it be done to me as you say. And then God did 100% of the work. It's the same thing for us. God says, this is why I want you to become a living host. We say, Lord, let it be done to me as you say. I want what you want. See, that docility is what God wants to see. If we can say yes to God, God will work. If we go, well, I'm not too sure about this. I'm not too sure. Father says that this is impossible. The bishop said that this can't be true. So I don't know, Jesus. I don't know if I can do it. God says, fine. I'll find the souls that want it. I'll find the souls that want to link themselves to Louisa and take what I want to give them. And so this is what the Lord is looking for. Be attentive. Do not move from the point in which I have called you and I want you. This is where Jesus wants us. As you're reading this, the world is changing. As you read this, the world changes. Why? Because this is the word of God, Jesus Christ, dictating the words to Louisa. And as you read them, as you absorb them, the world can never be the same. Volume 12, 1:1-20. My daughter, my divine will is wheel, and whoever enters into the divine will remains entrapped within it to the point of not being able to find a way out. And everything she does remains fixed on the eternal point and pours into the wheel of eternity. So, see, God is getting us out of time and space. See, one of the things that Jesus tells Louisa is bilocation is the way we're going to live in the divine will. It's not to have pious thoughts anymore, but realities. So if you want to be in Bethlehem in the divine will, you're there. If you want to be at Golgotha, you are there. If you want to be at Capernaum, you are there. See, the Lord has great plans. He wants to take us out of time and space and bring us into eternity. Okay? There is no time or space. This is where we've been trapped since the fall of Adam. And Jesus says, I'm with you to the end of time. And everybody thinks that's billions of years from now, but it's very soon. The end of time is coming. So what God wants us to do is to begin to live eternity now with the peace and the joy and the happiness of heaven. Don't confine God with your limited understanding, your human perspective, begin to see things from Christ's perspective. Begin to see things from a divine perspective. Everything that we're doing has spiritual effects. And see, Jesus is saying he wants us to enter into this wheel of eternity. He wants us to. So we have to give our fiat. So when you're praying, like Louisa in Volume 26, the very first day when she went out into the garden, Jesus says this is a simile of the Garden of Eden. And you enter into that Garden of Eden. You know, you enter into Bethlehem. You go to Calvary. You're there at the Last Supper with Jesus. See, our intellect has to be surrendered. Our human intellect has to be surrendered so we have a divine understanding from Jesus' perspective. Your memory can't be of you, what they said about me, what they said about my family, what they did to my... It can't be that anymore. The memory must be of Jesus. So this is where the bilocation comes in. Because you will be with Jesus. You will see Jesus in Egypt with his mother and St. Joseph. You will be with Jesus at Cana. You can look and see what he does. I mean, our memory has to be of Jesus. Okay, so this is what he's saying. You have to enter into this wheel of eternity. So don't confuse the bilocation as something that is far from you. No, it's going to be very close to you. You can be with Jesus. When you're with him at the Blessed Sacrament, you can enter into the Garden of Eden. You don't have to stay where you're. When Jesus said to Louisa, I want you to visit 33 churches in front of the Blessed Sacrament and reverence me in 33 churches, how in the heck are you going to do that? Well, it's very easy. You go to the church that you were baptized in and you visit. Hello, Jesus. And you go to the church that you receive your first communion in. You go to the church that you were married in. You go to the church that you could go to Notre Dame in Paris. You could go to the Vatican. You enter in and just kneel down for a second. Jesus, I adore you. In the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And you go to Golgotha. Go to where the tabernacle is there, and in the back, in the sacristy back there, it's as you go in towards the tomb, it's to the right. So you just go in there and be with Jesus. You can make your 33 visits in 33 seconds. See, there's no time or space. You know, when we do the rounds, there's morning prayer, mid-morning, noon, mid-afternoon, evening, and night, okay? You can do all of that in the morning. There's no time or space. You know, if you miss a day, you can catch up. See, it's God wants you to be free. God wants you to experience the freedom. Say, for example, you've got to pray a certain prayer on a certain day, okay? And you go, I'm going to be busy at that time. Well, I'll pray it now. God says, fine. See, God's going to free you of time and space. He really is. It's glorious what he's doing. So he wants us to enter into the wheel of eternity now. Not after we die. He wants us to enter into now. Now, do you know what the garments of Louisa, the soul who lives in my divine will, what are the garments? They are not of gold, but of most pure light. See, Adam, when Adam was naked, he lost the clothing of divinity. He lost the divine will. So he was naked. He was clothed in divine light. And see, Jesus now wants to clothe us again in divinity. God wants to bring us to live the way he had planned from the beginning. Now, when you think of clothing of light, you go, well, what does that mean? How does this work? You don't have to figure it out humanly. You're not going to. It's a mystery. You just say, fiat, I want that. Lord, you know, I want you to tailor me in what you want me to have, how you want me to glow. And he says very clearly, this garment of light will serve as a mirror to show all of heaven how many acts the soul has done in my most holy divine will. Because in each act Louisa has done in my divine will, Louisa encloses me completely. This garment will be adorned with as many mirrors. In each mirror, all of myself shall appear. Therefore, from whatever side they shall look at Louisa, from behind, from the front, from the left to the right, they will see me multiplied for as many acts as Louisa did in my holy divine will. I, God, could not give Louisa a more beautiful garment. It will be the exclusive distinction of the souls linked to Louisa who live in my most holy divine will. So, as you begin to do your acts, there, he says there's mirrors of light, mirrors of God that will radiate from the soul. So, again, you can do a couple or you can do a million. And whatever you want to do, God is going to say yes. And then he uses that act as clothing for you. So when you get to heaven, God is going to show the world who you are. Here's my fiat right here. Look what he did. Look what she did. Look how they took the acts of Jesus and repaired and redid everything. That's what the rounds are all about. As you go through the rounds, it's not what you do. What you do is nothing. It's to redo what Jesus has done. I want to, you know, follow the acts of baby Jesus. I want to follow the acts of Jesus at Nazareth. I want to follow the acts that Jesus did at Golgotha. See, it's to remember Jesus. It's to really begin to enter into this, as he says, wheel of eternity. He says, Louisa says, I remained a little confused in hearing this. And Jesus added, how is it you doubt? That's the same thing for us. Don't doubt. Just say fiat. I don't know how you're going to do it, but let it be done to me as you say. Doesn't the same thing happen in the sacramental host? If there are 1,000 hosts, there are 1,000 Jesuses. And I, God, communicate my whole self to 1,000. And if there are 100 hosts, there are 100 Jesuses. And I could give myself... I can give myself only to 100. And in the same way, the soul encloses me with each act that she has done in my divine will, and I remain sealed inside the will of the soul. Therefore, these acts done in my divine will are eternal communions. The species not subject to being consumed, as in the sacramental hosts. As those species are consumed, my sacramental life ends. On the other hand, in the hosts of my divine will, there is no flower or any other matter. The food, the substance of these hosts of my divine will is my eternal will itself, united with the will of the soul, which is eternal with me. And therefore, these two wills are not subject to being consumed. So, what is the wonder? If the whole of my person shall be seen as multiplied for as many acts as she has done in my divine will, more so, since I remain sealed in her and she as many times in me, therefore, the soul shall remain multiplied in me for as many acts as she has done in my divine will. These are the prodigies of my divine will, and this is enough to cast any doubt away from you. So it's the same thing. With us, don't you just read. Let Jesus explain it to you. Let Jesus show you. And if you're stuck on something, just say, Jesus, you have to teach me. And he will show you something. He will show you as much as you are docile. But if you are rigid and say, I don't understand this and I'm never going to understand it, God says, good, then you're not. I have to follow what you want. I have to follow what your will is. If you say, this is stupid and I don't want it, God's going to say, fine, it is stupid and you don't want it. There's many, many people, I've said, you know, they enter the divine will and they come to a point like this and they go, I can't believe this. I went to my priest. The priest says, no way. I say, no way. God says, fine. What is very important is that we say to Jesus, I want what you want, Jesus. I have to think from a divine perspective. I have to understand the way you want to teach me. I have got a small pea brain, but your Lord, let it be done to me as you say. The Lord says, get out of the way and just say, fiat, and watch me work. God does 100% of the work. He's looking for souls that try not to figure him out, but just to say, I want this. You say it, I want it. I don't understand it, but I want it. And God says, good. And then again, that's the great thing about the divine will. It's not for theologians who are trying to rip it apart and dissect it. It's for children that say fiat. And if we can say fiat, God says, good, I'll give you more. And if you can say fiat again, God says, good, I'm going to give you more. And that's what he does. This divine will is not to rip it apart and tear it apart, to destroy what Jesus has taught us, but to say, yes, I want it. I don't understand, maybe, but I want it. 5:12, 5:28, 20. Again, this was 8 days. No, this was 10 days after Pope John Paul was born. My daughter, into my divine will, so that you may find yourself in all the hosts, not only of the present but also the future. And in this way, you shall receive together with me as many consecrations as I received. In each host, I placed one life of mine, and I, God, want another one in exchange. But how many do not give it to me, otherwise receive me? I give myself to them, and they do not give themselves to me. And my love remains suffering, hampered, suffocated, unrequited. Therefore, Luisa, come into my divine will to receive all the consecrations which I, God, receive, and I, God, shall find your life in exchange in each host, and not only for as long as you remain on earth, but also when you are in heaven. In fact, since you have been consecrated in advance, while being in the divine will on earth, I got, just as I shall receive consecrations into the end of the world, Luisa, you too will receive them, and I, God, shall find the exchange of your life unto the last day. So here, I mean, Jesus promises us this. It's not only the hosts that are happening now, but the hosts that happen in the past and the hosts that happen in the future. It's to enter into this life of God. He's offering to us a life of heaven, a life of Jesus. And he wants us to know, I mean, we love Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. We spend hours in front of Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament. Yet now he says, I want to give you more. I want to give you an infinite number of hours with me. I want to give you an infinite number of time with me. Not only that, but I want to reign in you. I want to possess you. And I want you to possess me. Not only that, I want you to receive me as your food, and I will receive you as my food. See, there's no end to how much God loves us. And all that he's asking of us to do is to give our fiat and let him have his way with us. That's why this docility is so important. What he gives to Luisa, he wants to give to us. Volume 14, 324, 22. My daughter Luisa, as the soul admits her acts in my divine will, she multiplies my life. And so if she does 10 acts in my divine will, she multiplies me 10 times. If she does 20 or 100, 1,000 or more acts, as many times do I remain multiplied. It happens as in the sacramental consecration, as many hosts as they have place. They place, so many times I remain multiplied. The difference which exists is that in the sacramental consecration, I need hosts in order to multiply myself and the priest who consecrates me. While in my divine will, in order to be multiplied, I, God, need the acts of the soul in which my divine will consecrates me and encloses me. More than in a living host, and not a dead one, like those hosts before my consecration. So I am multiplied in each one of her acts done in my divine will. So again, we're seeing the importance of the rounds. As you do your round in the divine will, you are consecrating Jesus in your acts. He's becoming alive in your acts. He says very clearly, therefore my love has its complete outpouring within the souls who link to Luisa, who do my divine will and live in my divine will. These are the souls who always compensate, not only for all the acts that creatures owe me, but for my very sacramental life. The Lord wants us to spend time in front of him in the Blessed Sacrament. The Lord tells us that he wants his Eucharistic reign to occur. We're getting a glimpse of what this Eucharistic reign is. It is us in the divine will who, by doing our acts in the divine will, because of the divine will, are consecrated Jesus as like living hosts in us. Each act that we do, Jesus says, becomes a divine mirror where it will radiate for all eternity. And it doesn't end after you die. It continues for all eternity, even the hosts that will be consecrated. Now, why? Because there is no time or space. So what happens 1,000 years from now is because of the souls who now are living in the divine will. What happened 1,000 years before is because of what the souls who are living in the divine will now. This bilocation is what Jesus wants to teach us. It's to begin to live a life one with Jesus. To live a life so that Jesus is alive. That we honor him to such an extent that we become living hosts so that Jesus can feed on us. Because why? He sees himself. This is why that docility is so important. So how many times my sacred life remains obstructed in the few hosts in which I remain consecrated? Because few are the communicants. Other times there are no priests to consecrate me. And not only is my sacramental life not multiplied as much as I would like, but it remains without existence. Oh, how my love suffers. I would like to multiply my life every day into as many hosts for as many existing creatures and give myself to them. But I, God, wait in vain. My divine will remains without effect. However, all that I have decided shall have its fulfillment. So Jesus says it's going to be accomplished. He's going to multiply to the infinite. Himself. How? Through the souls living in the divine will by their acts. So think about it. One, I love you in the name of every human who ever breathed for every breath. Okay, so there's 7 billion people living, and they say half the people that are living here half living today. So that means there was another 7 billion before us. So that's 14 billion. And there's probably another 7 billion after us. So that's 21 billion souls for every breath. How many breaths do you take a day for all those people? And this goes for their entire life. This is an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. God is multiplying himself in all those acts. But not only that, we're talking about every heartbeat, every breath, every step, every blink of the eye, every swallow, every step that a person makes, everything that a person does. It's an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God, which drives the devil out. So God is expecting us to really begin to live this life so that the kingdom can be established. So he says very clearly, the divine will remains without effect. However, all that I have decided shall have its fulfillment. So I take another way. I multiply myself in every living act of Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa done in my divine will to have them substitute for the multiplication of my sacramental life. And yes, the souls, only the souls who live in my divine will shall substitute for all the communions that creatures do not do. For all the consecrations that priests do not do, in them I shall find everything, even the multiplication of my sacramental life. So you see, there's going to be an explosion of God, if you want to say, of I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. And because of the souls living in the divine will, God is going to multiply himself like in the host for everybody, for every thought, every word, every deed. Who are the ones that are going to do it? He says the souls living in the divine will, linked to Louisa. Again, this is not a good life, a holy life, or a saintly life. This is Jesus' life. This is the life that God breathed into the dirt when Adam was formed. It's the image and likeness of God. And now God wants us to participate in that. So, as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, let God have his way with you. Let the Lord teach you. Let the Lord show you. And as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, the Lord is going to bless you in a way that will astonish you for all eternity. He wants you to live the life that Adam lost. Who possesses this life that Adam lost? Jesus and Mary, even more than that, because Adam did not have Jesus or Mary. But the one that they breathed, the new Adam and the new Eve breathed us into, was Luisa Picaretta. And now Jesus is asking us to link ourselves with her so that we can possess what she possesses. Again, this is just gratuitous. There's no reason for God to do this. We're nothing. We're nobody. Yet Jesus said, I'm looking for souls that will give their fiat so that I can reign. It's very simple. It's we let Jesus reign in us. Volume 14, 7, 6, 22. After this, I continued with the other hours of the Passion. And while I was following the Eucharistic Supper, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior, and with one point of his finger, he knocked strongly within my interior, so much so that I heard him with my ears, and I said to myself, what may Jesus want that he is knocking? And he, calling me, told me, it was not enough to knock for you to hear me, but also to call you so as to be listened to. See, now Jesus is the Word, and it's the same thing for us. He's giving us these writings so that we will hear him. And I'm not talking about not hearing him. I'm talking about hearing him. We have to see Jesus. We have to hear Jesus. I mean, he's not gonna remain hidden. He says he wants to manifest himself to us. This is what the divine will is all about. So he says, I also call you so as to be listened to. Listen, my daughter. While I instituted the Eucharistic Supper, I, God, called everyone around me. I looked at all human generations, from the first to the last man, in order to give my sacramental life to everyone, not once, but as many times as they need food for their bodies. That's three times a day, minimum. You know, so the Lord has got great plans, and he wants to feed us. He wants to feed us with divinity. He wants us to listen to him. See, this isn't Jesus 1,000,000,000 miles away. It is Jesus that we hear. It's Jesus that we see. This is why this bilocation I'm talking about, you actually do see Jesus at Bethlehem. You see him at Golgotha. You see him at Cana. Jesus doesn't want to stay away from you any longer. And this gift of the divine will, our prayer life is going to change drastically, dramatically. And as we begin to pray, it's not just the prayers of the saints. It's not just please, 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 please. But he begins to show us how powerful he is. And he wants to share his power with us. He wants to share his divinity with us. So again, all that Jesus is saying is be attentive. Listen to what I say. Let me speak to you. Listen to what I say and let me direct you. This is why this gift of the divine will is so amazing. I want to constitute myself as food for the soul, and I felt very sad at seeing that my sacramental life would be surrounded by scorn, by indifference, and even by ruthless death. I felt ill. I experienced all the grips of death of my sacramental life, so harrowing and repeated. Then I looked better. I made use of the power of my divine will, and I called around me the souls who would live in my divine will. So Jesus now is, this is what he's doing. He's calling us around him. Okay? We have to understand that this is not what he did with the saints. He did not do this because the saints did the will of God. They did not live in the divine will of God. So he says, I have called around me Luisa and the souls who will live in my divine will. And oh, how happy I felt. I, God, felt surrounded by these souls whom by the power of my divine will kept as though submerged and for whom my divine will was the center of their lives. See, we're going to enter into the Son of the divine will, S-U-N, of the divine will. This is where God is calling us. I saw my immensity in these souls. I found myself well defended from all in these souls, and to these souls linked to Luisa, I entrusted my sacramental life. I deposited the divine will in them so that they would not only take care of the divine will, but by repaying me for each consecrated host with one life of theirs. And this happened naturally because my sacramental life is animated by my eternal will, and the life of these souls has the life of my divine will as its center. Therefore, when my sacramental life is formed, my holy divine will acting in me acts also in them, and I, God, feel their life in my sacramental life. So that's a great line. Therefore, when my sacramental life is formed, my holy divine will acting in me also acts in them, and I feel their life, our life, in my sacramental life. So he's asking us to participate in the Holy Eucharist. They multiply with me in each host, and I, God, feel I am given life for life. Now, think about this. We started with volume 11. Here's volume 14, and he's showing us more. He says that he wants to feel our life in each sacramental host. I feel I am given divine life for divine life. And that's because of the souls living in the divine will. So Jesus is expecting an awful lot from us. He's expecting us to allow him to reign in us to such an extent that we are with him and he is with us. It's that drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. That drop of water becomes wine. It's not oil and water. It's not separated. But the drop of water fuses and diffuses and becomes wine. And that's what God wants. He wants us to participate in him. And he says, oh, how I, God, rejoice in seeing you, Louisa, as the first one. You, Louisa, whom called in a special way to form your life in my divine will, I, God, made in you the first deposit of all my sacramental lives. I, God, entrusted to you, Louisa, the power and the immensity of the supreme volition, that they might render you capable of receiving this deposit. From that time, you were present to me. I, God, constituted you, Louisa, as depository of my sacramental life. And you, Louisa, all the other souls who would live in my divine will also have this. I gave you, Louisa, primacy over all. And with reason, because my divine will is subject to no one, even over the apostles or the priests. In fact, if they consecrate me, however, they do not remain as life together with me. On the contrary, they leave me alone, forgotten, not caring about me, while these souls, who would be life within my own life, inseparable from me. This is why I, God, love you, Louisa, so much, and my own divine will that I love is in you, Louisa. So here, this life that God has breathed into Louisa is the image and likeness of God. Okay, now, you have to remember, Mary, when Jesus says I, it is always Jesus and Mary. Jesus and Mary are always one, the new Adam and the new Eve. He did this with Mary, but he's talking about a human born of original sin. What Jesus has done with Jesus and Mary have done with Louisa is astonishing. The saints never could have imagined this. They would have prayed for something like this, but you know, just being a good, holy, saintly person is all that they possibly could be. Now Jesus is saying, he says he wants to be one with us in such a way that when somebody looks at us, they see Jesus. When somebody hears us, they hear Jesus. When we walk down the street, it looks like us. This is our skin, but Jesus is reigning in us. And now he's saying, not only that, but I want you to be so much like me that you become a living host. That I, God, receive you as my food. You receive me as your food. I receive you as my food. So God is bringing about a new beginning for mankind. Like I said earlier, the new evangelization is the divine will. And the church doesn't know it yet. The new evangelization is to become living hosts, and the church doesn't know it. They've heard about it, but they don't know how does this happen. As you read this, as this becomes your, you know, these truths become part of your life, Jesus begins to reign in us in such a way that we can no longer be miserable in any possible way. We can no longer worry about anything, be fearful of anything, be anxious about anything. We're no longer negative. What happens is God is reigning in us. And as we pray these rounds, what happens is it's a new beginning for souls. They begin to, experience the life, love, and light of Jesus reigning in us. And it's Jesus and Mary reigning in us. Therefore, my daughter, as I instituted the most holy sacrament, my eternal will, united to my human will, made present to me all the hosts which were to receive the sacramental consecration until the end of centuries. And I, God, looked at them one by one, and I consumed them, and I saw my sacramental life palpitating in each host, yearning to give itself to creatures in the name of the whole human family. In my humanity took on the commitment for everyone, past, present, and future, and gave a dwelling within itself to each host, and my divinity, which was inseparable from me, surrounded each sacramental host with the divine hours, praises, and blessings to give worthy decorum to my majesty. So each sacramental host was deposited in me and contains the dwelling of my humanity and the cortege of the honors of my divinity. Otherwise, how could I, God, descend into the creature? So he did it first. It was only because of this that I tolerated the sacrileges, the coldness, and the irreverences, the ingratitude, since in receiving myself, I, God, secured my own decorum, the honors, and the dwelling which befitted my very person. Had I not received myself, I could not have descended into creatures, and they would have lacked the way, the door, the means to receive me. This is my usual way in my works. I do them once in order to give life to all the other times in which they are repeated, uniting them to the first act as if they were one single act. So the power, the immensity, the all-seeingness of my divine will made me embrace all centuries and made present to me the communicants and all sacramental hosts, and I received myself as many times, so that through myself I pass into each creature. So who has ever thought of so much love of mine, that in order to descend into the hearts of creatures, I, God, was to receive myself so as to secure the divine rights and be able to give them not only myself, but the very acts I did in receiving myself, to dispose them and almost to give them the right to receive me. Louisa says, I remain surprised, as if I wanted to doubt. And Jesus says, why do you doubt? That's the same thing with us. And he can't. Jesus is the Word. And all he looks for is yes. Fiat. Is this not perhaps to operate as a God in this one single act of forming as many acts for as many as want to enjoy it, while it remains one single act? Was it not the same for the act of the incarnation of my life and of my passion? I, God, incarnated myself only once. One was my life, one was my passion, yet this incarnation, life, and passion is for all and for each one, as if they were for one alone. So they are still as though in act and for each one, as if I were now incarnating myself and now suffering my passion. If it were not so, I would not be operating as a God, but as a creature, who, not containing the divine power, cannot let herself be possessed by all or give herself to all. So here he shows us, God is so great that he gave himself to us, receiving us so that we could receive him worthily, receiving himself in us so we could receive him worthily. So that's why when you go to Holy Communion, when you receive Holy Communion, you say to Jesus, I want to receive you as you received yourself at the Last Supper in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So it's as if Jesus is receiving you, or you're receiving Jesus as Jesus has received himself, so that you can worthily receive him. This is what a God does. Otherwise, our sins would forbid us to embrace him. But since Jesus has done this, now we can receive Holy Communion. How glorious is our God. Now, my daughter, I want to tell you of another access of my love. One who does my divine will and lives the divine will comes to embrace the works of my holy humanity, because I greatly yearn that the creature becomes similar to me, image and likeness. And since my divine will and hers are one, my divine will takes pleasure in her, and amusing itself, it places all the good that I, God, contain into the soul, and I, God, form in the soul the deposit of the very sacramental hosts. My divine will, which Louisa contains, lends Louisa and surrounds Louisa with a divine decorum, homages, and honors, and I, God, entrust everything to Louisa, because I am certain to keep my work in a safe place. And since my divine will becomes actor, spectator, and custodian of all my goods, of all my works, and of my very life. So here, Jesus is showing us the beauty that he is given to Louisa. You know, how glorious is that? So we'll end there and come back in a little bit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.